Hello and welcome to The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla, and with me today is someone I'm very excited to have as a guest on my show, a wonderful, multifaceted, respected leader. Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager Asia of BBC Studios. Phil's in Singapore, I'm in Mumbai, and we are recording on my favorite podcast recording platform, Squadcast.fm. Phil, welcome to The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Phil, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation. But before we get to it, allow me the pleasure of introducing you to my listeners. So here goes. Phil Hardman is Senior Vice President and General Manager of Asia for BBC Studios based in Singapore. He's responsible for developing and delivering the Asia growth strategy across the global distribution businesses in Southeast Asia, India, Japan, and South Korea. In his role as GM for Asia, Phil leads the commercial teams across the region, across all distribution lines of business, including linear and digital branded services, regional and global content distribution, and consumer products. Working with key partners across the region, including StarHub, True Vision, Sony, NHK, KBS, Thai PBS, Discovery, Netflix, Unext, SK Telecom, and WowWow. Recently, BBC Studios expanded the distribution of its BBC branded channels in Malaysia with Astro and AIS in Thailand. Prior to this appointment, Phil was SVP, that is Senior Vice President, Commercial Strategy for BBC Studios Asia from June 2020, leading the business growth strategy across the Asia region, including Greater China. This followed a six-month period as the Acting General Manager for Greater China, alongside his role as Senior Vice President, Commercial Operations and Strategy. During this time, Phil led the business and the team to secure a multi-regional partnership with Huawei, a broad content partnership with Jigua or ByteDance, I hope I pronounced that right, Jigua, and he also launched BBC First on MyVideo in Taiwan. In fact, Phil first moved to BBC Studios, then BBC Worldwide in 2014 to be the financial controller for Asia. From 2016 to 2018, Phil became VP Finance Asia, leading the finance function across the region and a member of the Asia Board for BBC Studios. In 2018, Phil's role expanded to include business operations for China, commercial operations and strategy across Asia. Phil started his career in Grant Thornton, UK, in the Business Risk Services team and is a chartered accountant. He first joined the BBC in an internal audit role before later joining BBC Studios in 2014. So that's my very special guest on this episode of The Master's Voice, Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia BBC Studios, a true blue media professional, business head with diverse experience across business and finance leadership, a strategic business leader who thinks and evaluates every deal from the creative, management and finance side. Phil, thanks for being on the show and agreeing to this recording at a late evening hour for you in Singapore. It's a pleasure to have you on The Master's Voice on MediaBrief.com.
It's fantastic to be here and thank you so much for having me on The Master's Voice. I'm really pleased.
Thank you very much, Phil. And thanks also to Neeti Mehta of Pitchfork Partners for setting this up so wonderfully well. And also a big thank you to Gwendolyn Lee from your Singapore office. Phil, you have extensive knowledge and experience in the South and Southeast Asia and the South Korea and Japan markets. What are the characteristics of the overall Asia market and how is the India market different from the others? What's unique about the India market to you?
I'm very humbled that you describe me as having extensive experience of such a diverse and, you know, exciting market. You know, whenever I think about Asia, it's very difficult to talk about it as a single market. You know, every territory has its own nuances and its own, you know, special elements. You know, for us, we really try and find the right route to market in each of the territories we operate in. You know, it really is about, you know, bringing the content that works across the whole region. So, you know, universally popular factual content, you know, our edutainment, children's content, you know, and the kind of great storytelling of our scripted. In India specifically, India is such a kind of eclectic and diverse market in and of itself. You know, it's very difficult to talk about India as a single market, actually. It's very different from north to south, you know, the Hindi, the Tamil market, you know, it's incredibly exciting for us. And, you know, and one thing that is unique about India is that just the amount of choice. You know, there's no other market in our territories where there's so many services, so many options for an audience to enjoy content. You know, really for us, it's about finding the right platforms, finding the right partners to reach those audiences, you know, whether it's pay TV, whether it's OTT, whether it's DTT, you know, there's just so much. And there's a huge number of options. And we really, you know, work hard with our partners to find the BBC content that cuts through and reaches our audience.
Yeah, and actually India, like you said, is not one market. It's like so many nations within one nation, so many cultures, and such a huge treasury of stories that can be picked from here and told. So, Phil, what's your presence like, BBC Studios' presence like in the India market? How do you market and promote yourself in the B2B space? Because it helps for viewers also to know that, you know, a show or a piece of content has come from the BBC Studios. It's a great rub off, you know, considering it's the BBC lineage. So, two questions. One, what is your presence like in the India market? And two, how do you market yourself in the space in India?
You know, the BBC is the home of kind of bold British creativity. And, you know, for India, we're bringing that to our audience through multiple lines of business. So we have our distribution business, which I lead for the territory. We also have a production business where we make local content for, you know, local broadcasters and platforms. And then, of course, there's our news content that has huge reach in India, you know. Particularly, you know, from a BBC Studios perspective, that's about world news distribution for us. In the B2B space, we have, you know, really close-knit relationships with, you know, multiple partners. I'll just pick out a couple to give you some examples. We have a joint venture with Sony where we, you know, operate the Sony BBC Earth channel together, you know, the fantastic kind of infotainment channel that's really bringing, you know, the best of our natural history, science and engineering, you know, those STEM subject areas to audiences in India. You know, and we have a great collaboration with Sony to find the right content from our pipeline that really fits for the Indian audience. And then we also have, you know, a B2B relationship through our channels. You know, we distribute our CBBS channel through affiliates throughout the country. I think we're working with around 30 affiliates now and, you know, reaching, you know, almost 30 million homes with the CBBS channel, both through, you know, joint ventures where we're operating services, but also through, you know, working with partners. And then, of course, there's our content distribution. And I think many of your listeners will be familiar with big platforms who carry quite a lot of BBC content, you know, whether that's Disney Plus through our kind of global and regional relationships, Disney Plus Hotstar, we've had both, you know, great content like Doctor Who on Disney Plus Hotstar, and then of course we're producing content with Applause that goes onto the Disney Plus Hotstar. You know, we've got a great relationship with Lionsgate Play in the market where they, you know, they take some of our kind of newest and boldest scripted content. And then we have, you know, other relationships with partners like Zee and, you know, Star for the kind of broadcast market, which, you know, continues to thrive in India.
Wow.
And to answer your question about how we market ourselves, I mean, I think the BBC brand is synonymous with news, you know, globally. So for us at BBC Studios, of course, we, you know, we're part of distributing the World News Channel, but, you know, it's really about our entertainment brand. So as I said, it's about working with partners to bring, you know, world-class content to the Indian audience, you know, whether it's well-known content like Doctor Who or Top Gear that's coming through, or our locally produced content. We really try and, you know, highlight our bold British creativity. We try and highlight the capabilities we have and the, you know, the world-famous IP that we carry. And we bring that to an audience through a mix. Sorry, we bring that into the market through a mix of, you know, participating in trade events, working closely with our partners to make sure our content's highlighted. And those are areas that, you know, obviously during the last 2 years, it's been very difficult because we haven't been able to visit the market so easily. You know, myself, I haven't been to India for a couple of years now, and, you know, hopefully that will come back soon.
Great. Phil, BBC Studios also recently relaunched, as you said, its popular children's channel CBBS in India after 8 years. It's a dedicated preschool channel that brings 100% ad-free content to India. How do you approach creating content for a multi-genre channel like CBBS that is aimed at children aged 6 years and younger? You know, there must be some real special inputs and for you to decide on what to produce and how to offer it.
You know, first of all, I just want to say it's fantastic to have the channel back in India. I think, you know, there's really an audience for high quality children's content that the parents can trust. I mean, to answer your question, right, there isn't, I don't think there's a formula to it, but, you know, there is some complicated thinking that goes into it. I think, you know, our children's content, we really focus on that edutainment space. You know, we try and bring, you know, good values into our content. We try and bring good messages and things that are educational, but also, you know, keep it alive, because obviously for an audience of, you know, younger than six, you know, you need to keep it entertaining and you need to keep it bright and bold. One thing that we do that hopefully, you know, your audience will find interesting is we work with child development specialists, you know, very closely on when we're developing content. And we're very selective about our pipeline of content, you know, where we spend our time to create content that really fits with, first of all, with the BBC brand, but it really fits with the content that goes on to CBeebies. You know, those child development experts help us to put, you know, specific curriculum goals into our content. And that I think is part of the special sauce, but, you know, it's also, you know, really about picking out the best IP that works kind of on screen and off screen.
Wonderful, wonderful. And in its relaunched avatar, what is the range of programming that CBeebies offers? You know, animation to live action, etc. I mean, it's a great enabler, especially during the lockdown, as CBeebies content is designed to encourage learning through play in a consistently safe environment. And nowadays, kids, you know, in their very, very early years in school or in kindergarten, they really need tactile sort of learning and also to be with and interact with their own peers, so to speak. So it's really useful for sure. You must, of course, market it to the parents, but do share how you do it. You know, what's the marketing mix like and how well has the relaunched CBeebies resonated with viewers in India?
You know, for parents, I think our positioning is really around, you know, we are a safe and trusted brand. You know, you can, and as you said earlier, you know, the channel's 100% ad-free. What children are going to get when they come to CBeebies is really just about the content. So we focus on, you know, in terms of animation, I think we try and find kind of wholesome entertainment in that animation space. I mean, you know, some of the key titles for us are Gojetas, which is really about, you know, travel and learning about the world. Hey Dougie, which is all about that learning through play. It's about, you know, tasks and tools. And of course, we've just launched in this year, you know, Bluey on the channel, which has had a huge success across the world, you know, from its home market in Australia to the US and to the UK. And we're already seeing great performance in India. You know, that the preschool market also has, there's a lot of space there for live action content. And one of the things that works really well for us on CBeebies is we've got a series around Andy's Aquatic Adventures, which mixes, you know, some of our natural history content, some of that content, kind of famous shows that tell the story of the natural world, but, you know, overlay it with someone who helps to interpret that for children, helps to tell stories and make it fun for them to learn.
Wow, that's good. Very interesting. And you work with child specialists and, you know, psychologists and educators, etc. That's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that, you know, when we pull together the content that goes on to CBeebies, you know, we almost all of the content comes through the BBC pipeline. You know, it's about that kind of quality and universal appeal of that content. And I think in terms of, you know, you asked the question around how we market it, you know, a lot of it is about those areas. It's about how do we get those messages across to parents, you know, and to some extent get it across the kids. But it's really, you know, the parents who make the decisions for children when they're under six. So it's about making sure that people understand that quality content is available there. And, you know, what we've seen as well is that BBC brand and, you know, that combination with that kind of high quality educational content means that, you know, we have stuff that works on screen and off screen. And, you know, that's very true for our children's content, but also true for, you know, some of our older content, you know, like Doctor Who's and the Top Gears of the world. You know, people recognize those brands and they know them as a kind of trusted brand that they're going to come for entertainment.
And you also have Indian experts that you work with, right? I mean, you don't have to name them, but you do have experts from India who you work with, right, when you're making content for Indian children?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we work closely with people who really think about how that content will work internationally. So, you know, we co-commission content between our UK CBeebies channel and the international CBeebies channels. And we really think about how will content travel into the different markets that we operate in. Obviously, Asia is a critical market for that, and India's a big part of that, having such a huge audience here. And one of the things that we are, you know, exploring, and maybe we'll come onto this later, is around how we find more content from the region that fits with that CBeebies profile. And that's something we're very keen to explore with people who've got great ideas in that area.
Great. Time for a little break. You're with The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend, Pawan R. Chawla. And my very special guest today is respected media leader Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia, BBC Studios. Taking a little break and we'll be circling right back. Stay tuned. And we are back. You're tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm its founder, editor, and your host and friend, Pawan R. Chawla. And with me is Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia, BBC Studio. So, the pandemic, Phil, has given a fillip to digital streaming video consumption, read OTT. Can you give us the overview from your perspective, from your point of view, of the OTT transformation? There's been growth, of course. But how has the pandemic accelerated shifts in consumer behaviors? And what's your broad overview of the OTT transformation? Share that, please.
For sure. I think the OTT transformation was already happening. You know, I think particularly in India, you know, the volume of services available in India, you know, led not only by the kind of broadcaster platforms, but also by the kind of homegrown VOD services. And, you know, we've definitely seen an acceleration during the pandemic. I think, you know, that kind of perfect combination of people having a bit more time at home, a lot more time at home in many of our markets, but also that increasing connectivity and access. You know, I think the increase of kind of, you know, 3G, 4G and now 5G connectivity and, you know, fixed broadband has really meant that, you know, that access for the masses into that OTT world has been a bit easier. And, you know, we've seen that shift, not just in India, you know, we've seen that shift on our services in the rest of Asia, you know, in Singapore and Malaysia, for example, we have a BBC player that's available for audiences there. And, you know, our children's content, you know, it became very, very sticky during the pandemic. And, you know, we had around a 200% increase in the volume of kind of minutes consumed during that period, which is already quite high. So I think that transformation as I said, it was already happening. You know, lots of the market reports, I think PwC predicted that, you know, the APAC OTT market would exceed the US's this year. I think that's probably true. You know, in terms of, you know, other reports have identified, you know, the OTT business globally will become, you know, $400-500 billion in the next 5 years.
Right.
You know, there's so many platforms there. We may see some consolidation over time. You know, as I said earlier, there's so much choice, but you wonder, you know, will all of those platforms find their audiences? I think hopefully many of them will, you know, because I think this OTT world allows people to be a bit more selective about what they consume and, you know, find the content that they're looking for. I mean, a few of the takeaways for us from the kind of OTT transformation over the last year has been, you know, it really has been important to have quite a deep catalogue of content. You know, I think in a period where you couldn't produce new content to serve the OTT audience, it was really important that we brought our kind of well-known titles to the market and some less well-known titles that, you know, surfaced and found an audience. I think that's an interesting takeaway for us. And, you know, we'll continue to work on that with platforms.
Right, Phil. Looking ahead, what opportunity does BBC Studios see ahead? What's BBC Studios' outlook for India and the region? What is it doing to embrace and make the most of, you know, all the change that's happened in the recent past? You know, when you look at formats and genres, content for small and big screen, OTT and linear TVs, etc. Tell us.
Yeah, I think I could give you a very long answer to this, I think, but I'll try and keep it short. I think there's two or three things that come out for me in this. I think, you know, we've got an ambition to continue to expand the reach of our pipeline into the market, you know, our UK produced content. You know, that's very important for us. I think that's something that our audience expects from us. And, you know, we've got a number of partnerships in the market, you know, with Sony, with Discovery, you know, with Disney Hotstar, where we bring the kind of best of our factual and scripted and through our CBeebies channel, we bring the children's content to the market. You know, so we want to continue to do that. And I think there's a direction there around bigger partnerships with some of our customers in India as they expand their business. I think, you know, we've had great success in India with producing local content. You know, really through, you know, partnerships with people like Applause, you know, we've brought, you know, content to Disney Plus Hotstar, including version of The Office, Out of Love, Criminal Justice, that have just performed really, really well over the last year. And I think more opportunities to work in that scripted space. We've continued to produce some factual content through our kind of Mumbai-based production business as well. But we really have that ambition to produce even more local content, you know, generated not just in India. I think that, you know, India's a big part of that plan because we've got an established business there, but also in the rest of the region. And we've had great success with, you know, Korean formats. We've got some unscripted content being made across the region. I think we'll want to continue to do that as well. And then I think there's the final point I'll make is just around, you know, kind of looking to the future about, you know, one of the growth areas that I think the BBC will want to be in and we're looking for opportunities in is the kind of edutainment and education space. I think we, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we have a brand that I think people trust. You know, it resonates. It's synonymous with, you know, educating, inform and entertaining. And we really feel like there's potential for that. And I think, you know, I think India's a fantastic market for that. And I think one lesson that we've all had from the last 2 years has been, you know, the importance of having educational content available. You know, not just for children, but for all of us, you know, in this time where all of these services are exploding. I think those are three areas that I would pick at.
Lovely. That's a really nice roadmap you have in front of you. And you've done a lot of great work with every brand, everybody out there who's in the business of taking great content to interested people. So very nice indeed. What have been the BBC Studio's biggest content innovations all time and recent? Just pick three favorites.
You know, I think one area that has always been pushing the boundaries, particularly from a production perspective, has been in our natural history unit. You know, the Planets franchise, you know, the fantastic titles, Blue Planet, you know, most recently A Perfect Planet, and then, you know, Green Planet is coming up. We've always been looking for new ways and adopting new techniques to create content. You know, Green Planet, which comes up early next year, is telling the story of the plants on planet Earth in a way that's never been told before. And we've had to use new techniques to capture that content. You know, because of the pandemic, actually some of our crews had to shoot things at home in their own garden to, you know, capture content that works for the show and works for the show. And we've been, you know, we've always been pushing the boundaries in that area. You know, there's a couple of other things that I think are linked to that, which I'd like to think are innovations for us, which is the sustainability messages that we're trying to land, not only through our factual content, but actually, you know, across our content. You know, I think we've got both sustainability messages within the content, you know, trying to tell that story. And I think, you know, Blue Planet 2, which was released in 2017, really told the story of kind of single-use plastics and the impact it was having on the ocean. You know, we saw an uptick of the interest in that, particularly in the UK and the US. You know, I think even the Great British, you know, beach cleanup had more attendees in 2018 than 2017. And I'd like to think that we were a part of that. But it's not just about the sustainable, you know, messages in the content, it's also the sustainable production practices. You know, we've long been a part of a kind of project in the UK called the kind of Albert Sustainability or Albert Calvert Footprints. And you'll see that production mark on the end of a lot of our shows, which means that we've really tried to manage that production sustainably. And everyone who listens to your show who knows production, it can be very resource consumptive to produce some of these shows. So that's been something we've really looked at. And I think the last thing, I know this, tried to limit it to just three, but, you know, the last thing I'd flag is, there's an innovation that we're trying to capture now, which is about getting new voices into our content. So, you know, it is about, you know, growing that pipeline of talent who are making content. We've launched an initiative called the Emerging Creators Group in the UK, which kind of brings, you know, a mix of emerging writers, you know, influencers from social media, and tries to, you know, bring them into producing content and to some extent shining a spotlight on underrepresented groups, you know, within content, and trying to bring some of those stories to screen. And, you know, that's an area I think is really exciting for us.
Wonderful. Really, all of them very, very important areas, must become focus areas for every single content producer, from there, from the smallest mom and pop shop to the biggest broadcasting conglomerate. I think everybody really needs to be very, very conscious and responsible in these areas. And wonderful. Thank you for showing the light. Time for a little break. You're with The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm your host and friend, Pawan R. Chawla. And my very special guest today is respected media leader Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia, BBC Studios. Taking a little break and we'll be circling right back. Stay tuned. And we are back. You're tuned to The Master's Voice, the podcast series from MediaBrief.com. I'm its founder, editor, and your host and friend, Pawan R. Chawla. And with me is Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia, BBC Studio. Let's talk about creative deals, Phil, and long-term strategic partnerships. I'm sure the many areas you've shown in, Phil, has been in your ability to drive long-term strategic partnerships on the back of great creative content and deals. For instance, During your capacity as acting GM for BBC Studios Greater China, you've led the team to secure a broad content partnership with Zhihua ByteDance. You know, you launched BBC First with My Video in Taiwan. So give me the executive summary of the insights from those experiences and also any lessons learned from there. And how does or how do these experiences translate into how you work with partners in the region?
I think those, I'll pick up on those specific experiences. I think, you know, particularly organizations like ByteDance, but, you know, many of the kind of social media and technology platforms, it's their ecosystem is so fascinating. And, you know, one thing that you really need to do, you know, when you're working with partners is think long term with them to understand their ecosystem, understand what's important for their audiences, understand what role, you know, BBC and the BBC's content can play. It's going to play in that ecosystem, and what the best way for us to work together is. So, you know, that could be through co-production, it could be through production, it could just be through, you know, content distribution. But all of those things are about, you know, for me, the kind of finding those long-term strategic partnerships is about finding value for both parties. And it is about finding, you know, where does BBC Studio's strengths meet, you know, our partner's strengths, and what can that kind of bold British creativity that we can bring, or some of our world famous IP, or some of our, you know, our production capabilities in the areas that we're well known in, what can we bring to the partnership, and how can we plan together and, you know, work together to really create something that adds value for platforms long term. I mean, a great example of that, a couple of great examples of that in India would be, you know, Sony BBC Earth. You know, we operate that channel, you know, together. You know, it's something that we work closely with Sony on, you know, particularly around the editorial, around finding, you know, the right content for the Indian audience. I think that's something that, you know, you have to work hand in hand to do. But similarly, we have kind of global relationships that we then translate into local relationships. You know, I mentioned earlier we work with Discovery Plus, and that's a great example of that. But it's not only Discovery Plus, it's also platforms like Disney, Netflix, Amazon, where we have relationships outside of India, and we try and bring those lessons into our relationships in India so that we find, as I said, we find value for both of us.
Wonderful. What about any Indian IPs or IPs that you would have created in India that you may have taken internationally? Any examples?
Most recently, we've had some of our shows that we've made with Disney Plus Hotstar been carried on Disney Plus Hotstar around the region. And, you know, together with Applause, you know, our co-producers on that content, we've managed to bring, you know, some of that content to those audiences, including Out of Love, which has traveled really well across the region. So I think we will look for more opportunities to do that. I think that is about finding the right stories. We're lucky that we have some stories from BBC perspective that work in many markets, and, you know, making Indian versions or making content in India that can travel, I think, is something that could be really, really exciting for us, and I'd be incredibly keen to do more of it.
Lovely. And how much time does it take? You know, imagine, I mean, if I were a producer and I came to you and I said, hey, I have this great idea, I'm a creative director, writer, whoever, and you like the idea and you say, okay, we'll commission it, but obviously we'll work together and we'll supervise you creatively and make sure that everything is, you know, spick and span, the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, all of that creatively and even in the execution. How much time does it take, you know, from the first approval that is signed till the show, let's say it's a scripted show of maybe 10 episodes to the first season on an OTT platform, how much time does it take for a show to come from thought and first approval to the screen? I'm talking about a scripted series.
I think, you know, there is no one size fits all for this. I mean, I'm sure, you know, many of your audience of The Master's Voice will know a lot about the production process, and you can't give a simple answer sometimes. But I think, you know, in India, I'll talk about India specifically. You know, it, the market moves very fast. You know, people operate at speed, and there is no weekday, weekend, there is no day and evening. You know, people work incredibly hard to get these things over the line. And I think one of the things that we've found is that, you know, we can move fast with our partners, especially partners who we've worked with before. You know, notwithstanding the challenges of the last 2 years, we've produced some fantastic content, and, you know, we've managed to bring that to market relatively quickly, given the circumstances. And so I'm afraid I can't give you an exact timeline, but it's something we can do quickly. However, I will admit, and, you know, many of your listeners will know that it sometimes takes longer than you expect, because actually that creative process, you know, that development process is really important. You've got to make sure that the story's right. You've got to make sure it's going to resonate with your audience. Sometimes the casting takes a long time. So I can't give you a straight answer. I'd love to. But, you know, and I think if the two of us could figure out exactly what the timeline looked like, I think we could do a lot of business. But I think it is about finding the right story. It's about finding the right partners. And it is about making sure that we deliver for the audience. And that's really what's most important to us.
Okay. You know, your brief outlook on the overall developments and trends within the industry, India and Asia. Let's look at the Indian market, where BBC Studios has a joint venture channel, Sony BBC Earth, and pretty substantial content sales with partners like the relatively recently launched Lionsgate Play and Discovery Plus, and international production and formats business. So as a content provider, how do you plan to drive BBC Studios branded services and content distribution strategy in India and in the Asian region?
So I think for us, it's about, you know, there's three pillars for the strategy for us. The three pillars are, you know, strong branded services. You know, I think that's very critical for us in India. It is about creative hits. You know, it's about finding that content, whether it's our UK pipeline or whether it's local content. And it's about major partnerships and, you know, major customer relationships. So those three things are the kind of pillars of our strategy for Asia, but, you know, well, globally. And for Asia and India, what that means is it is about finding those kind of multi-line of business partnerships with some of the platforms in India, you know, both, you know, content distribution and local production and maybe some global co-production. I think those are areas, you know, we want to drive in India. I think there's definite appetite in the market and opportunity for us there. I think it is about, you know, strengthening, you know, BBC Studios' relationship with, you know, partners across Asia to some, you know, and finding ways, as we were just discussing earlier, bringing content that's generated in the region to audiences across the region and audiences globally. And we have a number of kind of long-standing partnerships that we do that through, you know, not only some of the partners I've already mentioned, but also, you know, major public broadcasters, you know, across the region, including, you know, NHK in Japan, KBS in Korea. That's really an area for us, is finding ways to collaborate with those partners. I think the other thing that we, going back to those pillars, you know, we really value the branded services positions that we have. You know, in India, you know, CBB is coming back to the market. It's so exciting for us. And, you know, it's just fantastic to have that. And there's still a huge audience that reaches. And I think that's something we'll continue. And across Asia, we're expanding our branded services business. You know, we've launched with a couple of new partners just in the last few months. And hopefully there'll be more as we continue that business. The thing that keeps coming back to me is it's about finding the content that works for the audience here. And, you know, driving the strategy in India needs to be built on that. So, you know, we've kind of got the pillars of, you've got the kind of commercial relationships and, you know, those broad partnerships. You've got the bringing together in terms of delivering content through our branded services. But really it is about finding content that works. And, you know, that's really what we're hoping will drive our business both in India and across Asia.
Right, Phil. Very, very insightful indeed. And a lot of professional insights and a lot of wisdom from your experience there. Which brings me to something which is perhaps a little on the personal side in terms of how you evaluate people. Okay, a youngster comes to you. Sure, HR has sent them to you, so they have the requisite experience and, you know, ability, etc. But what are the 3 or 4 very important, call them qualities or skills or talent or attitudes or values or whatever, 3 things perhaps, or whatever number you want to give me, which are non-negotiable if the person doesn't have them?
I think it is one of the most challenging things as a leader, pick the right team. Not just to pick, but to pick and develop. And, you know, I'm very passionate about giving people a great experience when they work for us. So actually, one of the qualities I look for when I'm hiring someone is someone who has the passion. They want to work for the organization. They feel like, and I, you know, we both feel that they can develop, they can grow with us. You know, it's not just about the job today. It's about the job after that and the job after that. So I like to really look for people who understand why they're joining this organization. They get, you know, the route that it can take them on. I think we're very lucky at BBC. We attract a lot of people like that. I think, you know, a couple of the qualities I look for in people are, I really value collaboration. I think it's something that we really value highly. I personally value incredibly highly. You know, we've talked about the different lines of business we operate in India. You know, that isn't all me, obviously. You know, there's a whole team of people and You know, I don't even, you know, we couldn't deliver what we deliver without, you know, great collaboration. And I think when we talk about the creative processes and like where great ideas come from, it is about that collaboration and, you know, treating each other with respect and treating each other as equals is very important. I think that's something else. I think the third thing I would flag, which is a hot topic at the moment, and I think it's something that we're really thinking about as an organization, is around diversity and inclusion. It's about what qualities will this person bring to the team? Now, there's all kinds of ways you can measure that. One of the things that I value very highly is diversity of thought. I'd like to hear different voices. I like to be challenged. I like to be tested. And I think that is something that you can only do if you have a diverse group of people. And I think that's another factor that I really think about a lot when I'm bringing together a team. And, you know, even if we lack that diversity in the group who are working on something, we'll bring someone in from another part of the organization just to give that perspective. And I think that, you know, those are a few areas I would pick out. And then, you know, the final area I think is, it's really about, you know, someone who feels like they're passionate about what they're going to do. I think that's very important to me. And I think, you know, I'm sure, you know, your reader, people who consume mediabrief.com, the people who listen to the Master's Voice are people who would understand that. You know, this is a labor of love at times. And I think that's, you know, it's very important to get people who really have that kind of A-grade attitude. You know, even if they don't have the experience, if they have the A-grade attitude, they can succeed.
Excellent. Very good indeed. I'm sure a lot of my friends and readers and users of mediabrief.com who are in HR and talent management will take a lot of insight from this. Very, very good indeed. Thank you very much. I'm glad I asked you that.
The two elements of that, diverse thinking, but with collaboration. I'd say of all the markets I operate in, India's the market where you might hear the most shouting and the most excitement in the room, but it's not a sign of disagreement. It's a sign of debate. It's a sign of passion. And I think those two things, you know, the kind of bringing that different voice and collaborating are two things that have to come hand in hand.
Wonderful, Phil. I enjoyed my conversation with you. Any thoughts on the little chat we've had so far?
It's been fantastic. And, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity to join the Master's Voice. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Phil Hardman, Senior Vice President and General Manager, Asia BBC Studios, was my very special guest on this episode of The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com. I truly enjoyed and benefited from all the insights and wisdom Phil shared from his amazing experience. I hope and I'm sure you did too. So thank you again, Phil. Thank you, Neeti Mehta from Pitchfork Partners and Gwendolyn Lee from BBC Studio Singapore for making this possible. Till we meet again in the next episode of The Master's Voice from MediaBrief.com, this is your host and friend Pawan R. Chawla saying, take care, stay safe, bye-bye.